TSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer, as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events through a biblical perspective. And by the way, we better have that. What we hear in church on Sunday, is it even in the Bible at all? If you got a question you'd like to ask us, perhaps you have been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, hey, that's why we're here for you. We don't claim to know everything, but, you know, we have been through the Bible many, many times, and not really here to represent any particular denominational dogma. We're just here to tell you what the Bible says on that topic. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We got some lines open. You're sure to get on. And if you got a legal question, hey, today's another day you want to call, because we have with us attorney at large at Pacific Justice Institute, representing people like you and me against unfair laws and things of that nature, Brad Dacus from PJI.org. Hi and welcome.
Oh, great to be on the program. Thank you, Mike.
Always a blessing to be with you. And wow, what's your take on all the crazy stuff going on? And, the world court's trying to arrest Bibi Netanyahu now for war crimes when his country was invaded. Women were murdered. Children were butchered. And if you fight back, you're a criminal. What kind of insanity is going on here?
Yeah, that's like prosecuting Dwight D. Eisenhower for going in and, door-to-door combat in Nazi Germany, in some of the German towns, going into Berlin, what happened there. This is war. Gaza, the Hamas, who are the government of Gaza, the people of Gaza voted for Hamas. The polls show that they still support Hamas, even after October 7th. And they went to war. It was not a few people there who happened to live in Gaza. No, this was the government orchestrated with support from Iran war against Israel. And their intent was to take down Israel and in so doing to bring in the Hezbollah and others and just a blitzkrieg. It didn't work. And Israel did what every country should do when they're attacked. They defended themselves. And not just at their border, they need to make sure that those perpetrators are taken out. The same way we made sure that the Nazis just didn't keep Berlin and everywhere else they were defeated. No, we made sure the Nazis were out, defeated decisively. So in the same way, Israel has that same right to do that throughout, not just part of Gaza, all of Gaza, and to make sure that all of their enemy is defeated. You know, if the people there in the southern part of Gaza, it's terrible that they're there. But this is war. And when you elect a government and your government conducts this kind of activity of aggression and war against another nation, this is to be expected. There is no exemption for people when they're in a country that declares war from having to pay part of the price for electing that government and supporting those kinds of thugs. And that's what we see happening. Israel, of course, has been very, very reasonable. They've given warnings, lots of paper warnings before they invade someplace, before they bomb someplace. Unprecedented, incredible, going way beyond anything the United States has done through most of our history. This is a anti-Semitism. It's against Israel because Israel is Israel and Netanyahu is the head of Israel. If this was any other country and doing this kind of activities, and other countries are and have, we wouldn't see this kind of action. So this is outrageous. The fact that Germany says they will arrest Netanyahu if he enters their country, they will arrest him. That is very telling of the times that we're in.
I know. It's just insane. And not one cry from the world court for Hamas to surrender. Isn't right. That amazing? Shows you how totally messed up our world really is. Well, 8888 ASCIA sends the number. Call if you want to be part of the program today. We're going to go to Colleen, Montana. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good. How can we help?
Well, I was wondering why our legal system, judiciary system, cannot do anything or won't do anything about the illegal aliens being able to register to vote in the District of Columbia and be counted.
I don't know. I mean, it seems that this is the only way the Democrats are going to get in the next election is through illegal voting, corrupt voting, illegals voting, dogs and goldfish and people have been dead for 20 years voting. What do you think?
Yeah, well, as far as D.C. is concerned, municipalities, they can decide to let non-citizens vote for races under their control, like city council, city mayor, for example. But they cannot authorize non-citizens to vote in the federal elections, i.e. for president or for Congress or Senate or anything like that. The Washington, D.C. is under the authority of the federal government. So Congress is, that's their final governing authority. It's very unique, unlike other cities. That's what they're under. You know, the city of Dallas is under the law of Texas, under the government of Texas. Washington, D.C. is under Congress. So Congress has the authority to do what they're doing, and that is, in the House, I know they're passing or have passed, I'm not sure where it's at right now, a law that says in Washington, D.C., only citizens licensed or, registered voters who are citizens can vote. And I think that's a smart move. It's going to be interesting to see what members of Congress vote or have voted against that. Very telling of where they're coming from and their lack of ethics and integrity and appreciation for our Constitution.
Yeah, just break into some country and just start voting. Why don't you just move all the red Chinese over here and have them vote in the next election? And America will be instantly communist, except rather than this slow process of them overthrowing us the way they're doing. This is absolute insanity. Again, I'm just amazed, Brad, of how there is no ethic in these people anymore. They're just corrupt. And it's really sad. Well, let's go to the phones. We have Colleen on the line, Montana. Hi, welcome. Oh, yes, we have Colleen on the line. All right, Colleen, I hope that answered it for you.
Well, I don't understand how it's against our Constitution. And I hear what you're saying in the District of Columbia, that they have jurisdiction over that. But what about these other states that you don't even have to present any kind of ID other than maybe a bill with a name on it? It may not even match your name, but how do you know? Because you have no identification.
Right. In states like California, for example, there's no ID required at all. A lot of blue states, they just let you just go in there and just say, that's who I am, and you vote. They don't look at IDs at all. There's massive fraud because of that. And that's up to the states to decide what standards they're going to utilize to maintain voter integrity and the integrity of their elections. There's a real problem with that, and that's one good reason why we have the electoral process. It acts as a stopgap, if you will, for fraud in blue states. If we just had everyone just all our votes counted and whoever got the most votes wins, all it would take is one state like California or New York to just massively flood the ballot boxes and you would have corruption made all the easier. So fortunately, we have an electoral process where corruption cannot go beyond the state in terms of the impact on the election. That's the silver lining. But the reality is it shouldn't be like this at all. It still impacts congressional races, Senate races, not just the presidency and vice presidency. So this is a problem we have in blue states. They embrace corruption. They love corruption. They love fraud. And it's important for states on the border, if you will, like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and others, to seize the day for election reform, require IDs, etc. But it's really at the state level, and that's where it's going to need to be addressed, unfortunately. Or you could have it on the federal with Congress, but right now Congress is in no position. There's not the votes, the unanimity of voting among the votes in the House and the Senate and the White House, much less to pass laws requiring voter IDs and the like. But you could have federal legislation. We just don't have it.
Yeah, and they need to do something, because we know that is this really what the Democrats had up their sleeve to tip the election, is to bring in illegal votes? Pretty much tells you what kind of a party they really are, the party of corruption. Really sad. It's unbelievable. Colleen, that's why Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, look up, your redemption draws nigh. We see the corruption globally. Again, the world court trying to arrest Bibi Netanyahu for defending his country. We see Putin threatening global nuclear war almost weekly now. We find wars and rumors of war scattered all over the world. And again, Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, look up, your redemption draws nigh. This is all about the way it's going to go. And again, we need to be about our Father's business. Work, for the night is coming when no one can work. Colleen, stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs, okay?
Thank you very much.
God bless you, dear. We are all concerned. We're all praying. And keep looking up, our redemption draws nigh. Let's go to Joseph, Ohio. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering about something, and I'm not trying to be divisive here with this. You know, you kind of get mixed flags with some of this. There's an organization I've kind of heard about in recent years. Don't know much about them thoroughly, but they call themselves the Sons of Liberty, and they're headed up by a guy named Bradley Dean. I don't know if you've heard that name or not. Are they a sound ministry / organization, or does this kind of borderline on New Apostolic Reformation? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I can't comment. I don't know who they are. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I've heard of them. I don't know enough to comment either. I really can't. So, wish I could help you on that one. Just do your homework. Don't listen to the media necessarily, because they'll call all, you know, some really great, wonderful Christian organizations. They'll call them, you know, evil and bad and extreme and whatever. Do your own homework. Find out what they stand for. What have their leaders said in the past, and who supports them, who backs them. That's a good starting point.
Hope that helps.
Great comfort. I know he's backed him. I know he's friends with Alex Newman, and I've heard Alex Newman featured on Jan Markell. So I don't know if that's a good sign or not. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and you know, we appreciate their ministries as well. And you know, Ray Comfort's a good guy, I think you just have to look and see, and perhaps even email them and talk to them about this, because they might be able to give you a little more insight on it than we can. Hope that helps.
Thanks a lot.
Stay online if you like, Joseph. Send you books and DVDs for calling in. Let's go to Lori, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
Thanks for all you all do, Pastor. Okay, this is, I guess I'll be blunt because there's no other way to put it, because I've been wondering. I mean, okay. Every time I travel out of town or someone comes to visit me, this is about LGBTQ and all this. Like, they question me at work, how come I don't march? You know, and sometimes I don't want to offend anyone, because, I mean, we're all sinners, right? I don't want to offend anyone. But, like, also when relatives want to come stay or friends, or they invite me, hey, don't get a hotel, stay with me. I mean, why would you have to pay? I really sometimes don't know what to say. I love people, and I'm trying my best to live the way as Christians are supposed to, but I struggle with that. You know, I struggle with the people that I love that are gay, and sometimes I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I know. It's very, 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 very heartbreaking to see that, because you know what the Bible has to say about it. Again, Romans chapter 1, which was written after Jesus had died on the cross, after the Holy Spirit had filled the believers, after the early church had been established, Romans chapter 1 condemns the gay lifestyle, condemns and says God will judge these things. Right. So by us standing up and saying, hey, by the way, you know, God says these things are wrong, you become a target of all the criticism and everything like that, when in fact, you're just the messenger heralding what God says about it, your thoughts.
Yeah, this is becoming all too common. Christians are going to find themselves in these situations more and more. You know, it's right. You don't want to burn a bridge. You don't want to or seem aloof or, you know, in any way break off that relationship. At the same time, you don't want to compromise. What I encourage people to do is never to placate it, never to say, oh yeah, that's right, I agree with that. Oh yeah, that's wonderful. I'm glad you guys are Jim and Johnny, I'm glad you're getting married. You obviously don't want to do that. But you also want to avoid unnecessary conflict. And the focus on the offense in this, as we move forward, is number one, pray for them. Number two, work on a relationship with them. Reach out to them, have lunch with them, connect with them. And number three is look for the opportunity to share your testimony, to share the hope that's within you, maybe to share Christ. They're lost. They don't know Jesus. And sometimes as Christians, we want to focus on getting that sin out of their life. Reality, they need the Lord first. So I would try to pray for them, work on developing a relationship. Do not compromise and placate them and say, you think it's great when you don't. You know, avoid conflict. That's fine. And your focus on the offense is Christianity. Maybe invite them to church, invite them to maybe something less uncomfortable, maybe some kind of a rally or crusade or something, maybe a Christian movie. But try to get them introduced to Christ. And when they surrender to Christ, the Holy Spirit will help with the word and with fellowship, will help them open their eyes and see the light as to these dark things that they're engaging in.
Yeah, because we have to make a stand to say, hey, listen, and I really believe everyone. I talked about this the other day. You know, they're fairly well established now, yet they still protest. What are they trying to say here? What do they want? They want the church to say what they are doing is okay. And we can't. Because that's what the Bible says. Now, we have some denominations that are changing what the Bible says to suit their own belief. And this is dangerous, but it doesn't make it right. And so we still have to stand for what the Bible says is acceptable to God and what is not acceptable to God. Now, people say, well, that's judgmental, that's fundamentalistic ideas, that's part of the Victorian era. Call it whatever you want, but the Bible says these are the things that God will destroy a nation over. Now, again, dig up Sodom and Gomorrah, explain it to them. So this is why I tell people everywhere, be about your Father's business, do what you can do while you can do it. And Lori, you know, I think we want to still love the lost, but we want to be careful not to engage in their sin. And I think that is not something that is out of line. In other words, if I was invited to go to somebody's place that I knew, let's say, was gay for a birthday party, I would go because, I honor them as an individual. I, however, would not go to a wedding because I believe you're condoning that kind of behavior.
Right.
It's one thing to have a birthday. It's one thing, but to go to a gay baptism or to go to a gay marriage, no, no, no. And that's where the difference comes in. I hope that helps.
It does. There's a lady her husband does ministry, and we were talking about it one day, and she's like, well, wouldn't Jesus go with sinners? And I'm like, okay, don't confuse me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can go to a birthday party, but you don't want to say amen to something the Bible says is forbidden. Right. And like I say, so a baptism, a marriage, something like this, absolutely not. That's not going with them. That's condoning their behavior. Going with them would be to, like I say, going to a birthday party or you know, going out to dinner with somebody like that. You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem going out with somebody that's in trouble with the law or something like that either. But to sit back and say, oh, what you're doing is okay or whatever, we need to be very careful because, again, we are ambassadors of the Most High God. That means we represent the kingdom of heaven. Yes, Jesus ate with publicans and sinners, but he didn't become a sinner to reach sinners. And that's something we have to always understand. Hope that helps.
It does, Mike. Thanks. I just feel like in the past 10, 12 years, I've been deeply hurt because these are people I grew up with, and they wouldn't speak to me or invite me nowhere. And I was hurt because I'm like, what did I do? You know?
Yeah, you didn't do anything. It's just who you represent.
Right.
You know, that's the thing we have to remember. So being about our Father's business is always that which requires a walk in the Spirit. And so stay on line, dear. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs, okay?
Thank you, Pastor.
Perhaps you can get those into the hands of your loved ones. Let's go to Mike in Creston, Iowa. Hi, welcome.
Yeah, I was wondering on Isaiah 14, verse 17. It talks about who did not let the prisoners go home. Who is this passage referring to? I was told by a friend of mine that it's referring to the king of Babylon. But then in verse 12, it talks about in English Standard Version, it says, oh, day star, son of dawn. And in the New King James and King James, it refers to Lucifer.
Yeah, I believe it's Lucifer. And there's nothing more the devil wants to do than hold people of this earth captive, prisoners, if you will, in not only their sin, but their destiny. And, you know, that's what Jesus came to break the powers of the devil. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's probably an accurate interpretation of the scripture.
Because the rest of the chapter deals with, you know, Lucifer, son of the morning, you know,
right.
You're perfect in all your ways until pride entered your heart and I will be as the Most High, et cetera. So based on the context of this verse that's in question here for you, Mike, I would have to conclude that that's what it's talking about. And of course, the prisoners are the people of this earth that into this day he still holds captive. Hope that helps.
It's regular sinners and not the demon possessed or anything like that. It's just regular.
No, I believe it's just a general statement of the people that are lost that Satan holds in blindness. That's why when we pray for somebody to get saved, we pray that the God of this world would be bound from their mind, that they would be able to see the great opportunity that Jesus Christ offers them and accept him as their savior. And so, again, this is where I believe the problems come from, because the God of this world has blinded the people's eyes. He has kept them in bondage. He has kept them as prisoners. They're not free. They're manipulated. Hope that helps.
Yeah, that helps. Great. Thank you.
Mike, stay online if you like. Send out books, DVDs. If you need us, we're here for you. 8888, ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program. Let's go to Jeffrey, Mineral Wells, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, guys. Hey, I have my question is regarding someone just called a moment ago regarding gay marriage, et cetera. And unfortunately,
yes,
my daughter swings that direction and is just married, so to speak, in a gay marriage. She knew better than to invite me. You know, I wasn't invited, but, you know, I'm not really sure how to respond. You know, I don't know, say, you know, hey, good job, congratulations. You know, how would you, first, I have two questions. First of all, how would you recommend going about trying to maintain that relationship or going forward? That's number one. And then the second question I have is regarding in Genesis with Joseph as his, and I think it's like no exit, or I'm driving, I said the word exit, chapter 46 or so, but where his family comes in to go, and he says, don't call yourself sheep herders. Basically, it seems to me like he's saying, call yourself cattlemen. Is that how you take that scripture? And what are your thoughts on that? So,
okay, that was Genesis 46?
Say 46, 47, somewhere in there where they are coming back to they're moving to Egypt. And it says towards the end of that chapter to kind of help you locate it faster. But he talks about tell Pharaoh that you deal with cattle. And it seems like he's saying.
Oh, yes. Okay. And the reason why I believe that is verse 34 of chapter 46. And the reason why is because really, this was something that the Egyptians dealt in. And I'll just read the verse. It says that you will say, your servant's occupation has been with livestock, which in a way that's true because sheep are, livestock, have been with livestock, from our youth even till now, both we and our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to Egypt, the Egyptians. They didn't want competition. And so you bring all these into Egypt. This is where the problems come from. So many people just simply believe, commentators believe, that this really had more to do with competition, unfair trade than perhaps anything else. So your thoughts?
Yeah. I think it's right. That seems to make the most sense. And, it was a very, very sensitive situation. These are foreigners entering into Egypt and, it was a very, very touch and go situation for them. So that makes total sense.
And when we come back, Jeffrey, we're coming up on a break. Brad will want him to comment on this situation with your gay marriage daughter. We'll be right back right after this.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
And I saw my baby on the sonogram picture. He had a little halo around his head. And I heard his heartbeat. And seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you, who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday, you may meet a baby that you rescued, and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about their life-saving work, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Let's see. If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Friday afternoon as we wrap up this week. Looking forward to the next half of the program as we're going to be answering a lot of questions. And if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number again, 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We have Jeffrey with us from Texas on the line asking about his daughter got into a gay marriage and your thoughts.
Yeah, this is a very sensitive situation because you, once again, you do not want to in any way imply that you approve of what she did. At the same time, you want to demonstrate unconditional love for your daughter, for her to understand that. So you may want to put it in writing first, or if you feel comfortable, you know, face to face. But when you're with her, you want to make it, you know, very clear to her. You know, she probably already understands that you don't approve of it, because that's probably why you weren't invited to the wedding. But if you continue though to, you can either implicitly just, you know, spend time with her, love her, you know, not act in a way that is not rejecting of her. Some Christians, you know, they do that. They say, I'll wipe the, you know, the dust off my feet. I'll have nothing to do with them until they repent. I don't think that's what Christ wants. We need to maintain that love and for our loved ones, even when they do things that are wrong or in the clearly, you know, sinful. At the same time, we don't want to placate it. So, you know, I would, if you have a face-to-face conversation, if it was I was in that situation, I would say, you know, you're an adult, and I want you to know that, you know, you make your decisions as you see fit. You have your convictions. I have my convictions and, about things. And, I just want you to know that, even if our convictions don't agree with each other, I love you unconditionally. You'll always be my daughter. And, I want you to know that. And if I can ever help you in any way, I want you to always feel free to contact me. I love you. And, you know, and she may say, you know, her movement, what they often train people to say is, no, if you don't accept my partner, then you don't accept me, and I'll have nothing to do with you. That's, and they're trying to force you to bow the knee to their God.
It's a bullying.
Yeah, it's a bullying. And I would say, you know, I want tolerance to go both ways. I respect you have your beliefs and your convictions, and I love you unconditionally. Are you saying that I have to change my values, my religious beliefs, my convictions, in order for you to be willing to talk to me, in order for you to be willing to continue our relationship? And that's sort of a good way of putting it. Are you saying that that's a condition for me to change my religious beliefs and convictions in order for us to have our father-daughter relationship? I say, you know, and it's sort of, some may, you know, see where it goes. Some of them say, yes, that's right. They say, well, I want you to think about that, because I really don't think that's fair. I don't think it's really true tolerance. True tolerance goes both ways. And I want you to know, no matter what your attitude is, I love you unconditionally. And I would love to have a relationship with you, as much as you would allow me to, but I don't reject you. If you choose to reject me because of my beliefs, that's up to you. You know, that's up to you. And, but I'll still always love you unconditionally, no matter how you decide to treat me or our relationship. And I think that's sort of how I would deal with it. And it may get them thinking sometime, realizing that maybe all that propaganda brainwashing about ultimatums isn't really healthy after all. So that's my take on it. And continue to love her. And but you don't have to in any way recognize the marriage. You don't have to do that. It comes time to holidays, can be a little uncomfortable. Do you invite both of them over for Christmas? Or just one? If you buy just one, she's not going to come. You got to have to work that through, because you want to show love and compassion and unconditional love. At the same time, you don't want to do anything that you feel would show a compromise in terms of affirming something that goes against your heart and your conscience. And that's something you have to work through based on the different situations you're going to be dealing with.
Jeffrey, I hope that helps.
You know, that's a really fantastic idea, but I appreciate the idea of writing a letter. That's really good. I appreciate that very much, guys.
Well, you can weigh your thoughts out. You're not caught up so much in the emotion of it when you're writing. You know, just explain to her how you really feel. I think that's a good thing. Jeffrey, stay on line. I'll send you out some books, some DVDs, and if you need us, we're here for you, okay?
Hey, thank you very much.
God bless you. Let's go to Daniel, Bakersfield, California. Hi, welcome.
Hello, pastors. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. It was regarding my son. He's 22 years old. He's having really bad pain in his stomach. He can't eat. He's about 120 pounds. He's about 5'9". And doctor's doing a bunch of tests, blood work, a lot of samples, you know. And I try to tell him, son, you know, God can hear you. You just got to believe. And he has a lot of, like, a lot of anger and hate. And if God was this good, why would you let this happen? And I try to explain to him, it's like, hey, son, you know, babies are born with cancer sometimes, and we don't understand why, but God is good. And he just has, like, it feels to me, honestly, it feels like an ugly spirit when I'm speaking to him. And I don't know if it's because I try to tell him, you know, like, God is good. But he's like, no. Like, and he starts bringing up Israel. And I'm like, son, what are you talking about? And I think it's his friends, saying a lot of things to him, saying the Jews are bad. And so I don't know if it's because of that reason why he's – I'm not saying God wants to intentionally hurt us, but I don't know how to explain it. Like, I feel like it's kind of like a spiritual battle. Like, and I just need some prayer because he's – It's really bad right now, and he's talking about dying and wanting putting a bullet in his head. It's just a bunch of stuff that's bad. So,
yeah. See, he's in darkness. He's in rebellion to God. First of all, second of all, because he's in rebellion to God, truth doesn't mean anything to him, and because truth doesn't mean anything to him, he has no real reason to live. And these are, it's a domino effect. It's really amazing that people yet still haven't figured out what you believe is how you live your life. I'm always amazed by that. You know, Brad, what would you tell him concerning, as an example, being anti-Semitic and health issues? Your thoughts?
Yeah. Are you Jewish and there's people who are anti-Semitic towards him? Is that what you're saying?
No, we're not Jewish at all. He just got involved with some friends and they're like totally like anti Jewish. Jew. I guess like they believe. Yeah. They just believe that, that Jews brought this upon themselves, that we shouldn't help them. And there's like a lot of like Aryan stuff. And I'm just like, man, son, like, no, that's not the way to go. And now he's dealing with the sickness. And I'm just like, Lord, you know, like, please spare my son.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say this. Sometimes God does allow physical things to happen to us for our spiritual growth. I know I had a major auto accident. We'll get all the details of it. I've shared it before when I was a teenager. And I was a Christian, but it was actually the best thing that could have happened because it really humbled my heart, broke my heart even more to surrender even more to the Lord and be open to having my identity in Christ. So God uses things like this sometimes in ways we don't always see and understand, but sometimes the spiritual element is much more important than the short-term physical issues. I would advise that, you know, your son right now is angry. He's also his age. He's a teenager, I understand. So I would give him just lots of love. If you try to teach him, he's not teachable right now. I would just give him, lots of love, lots of attention, lots of, listen to him, hold his hand, spend time with him and let him see, that love, and because he's going to have to work this through to some degree himself. I understand he's probably been raised with Christianity. He's been taught what the Bible says. This is not unusual. Many times Christian families think, well, gee, if we're a great Christian family, then why aren't all my children in love with Jesus and following the Lord? It's because they have their own independent will. God had two kids in the Garden of Eden, and they didn't turn out so well because they had their own independent free will. So recognize that. Love your son. Spend time with your son. If you want to make a point, I think the Socratic method using questions is better than preaching or teaching. But that's all I can say at this point. And of course, be praying for him and his situation. Also. Sometimes I know some Christians, we believe that we can just, we just believe it and God's going to heal us. Sometimes that happens, but sometimes it doesn't happen. And that doesn't mean that God's turned against us or we weren't praying hard enough or didn't believe enough. That can be, actually, I've seen Satan use that to cause actually depression in Christians sometimes where they feel like, they just, weren't spiritual enough. And that's why they're dying of X, Y, and Z or these different problems. Real faith is trust. Trust in really believing that God hears our prayer and he loves us and he has the power to do and to intervene. And we trust him in the situation, even though we don't understand it. Otherwise, he can be, if he thinks otherwise, that that faith is something you have to sort of conjure up, and it's up to him. That can be very depressing and discouraging as well sometimes. Just a thought.
So I hope that helps.
Yeah, you know, that's a good thing. I was feeling depressed. I was feeling, you know, bad, you know, being the dad, you know. My son's 22, and it does hurt, you know. But I'm trying to stay strong as I can. And, you know, me and his mom were married for 20 years, and we just got divorced about 2.5 years ago. And he has a lot of anger and hurt, I think, because of that as well. And he just believes, he says, "Dad, you know, I prayed and prayed, and look what happened, this and that." And I go, "Son, today's a new day. You know, God has given us another chance of doing things right." And yeah, I appreciate you guys so much, though.
Yeah,
let's pray. Brad, you were going to say.
Yeah, I just want to pray for him right now. Thank you so much, yes. Pastor Mike. Father, I just lift up this brother in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your word and your truth, Lord. You know, and we rebuke the great accuser, Lord, who wants to tear us down and bring us down. Father, and especially when it comes to our children, Father, we know that they have individual hearts, individual wills, Lord God, and we also know, Lord God, that you love them more than we love them. Father, you care for them more than we care for them. And Father, we put our trust in you, and I pray for you to give this father peace, knowing that he can trust you to work in his son's life, and that you do bring healing. And we give him, we pray for him to have a heart of humility around his son and love, unconditional love with his son. And we pray, Father, for his faith to grow as we trust, Lord God, that you are going to work in this situation, even though we don't see it, we don't understand it. That's what faith is, Lord. It's to trust you even when everything may not make sense. But we put our trust in you. We pray for your work in this situation. And we thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy through Christ is complete, and we do not have to bear guilt at all. We thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name. Daniel, our prayers are with you. I'll send you out some books and DVDs. Perhaps you can get your son to watch God of Wonders. I think that may very, very much help him. Also, a little book called Time to Grow. A couple other things I'll send to you. And if you need us, we're here for you, okay?
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Amen. And for all of you that are listening that have wayward children, listen, God is a God of miracles, and he has a way of getting anyone's attention. So don't stop praying for your lost loved ones. Let's go to Janice, Joshua Tree, California. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Yes, how may we help?
I was wondering if you have a perspective on the group that are calling themselves Messianic Christians, not Messianic Jews, but Messianic Christians. They seem to believe, well, they do believe that the feasts were never negated. We should still be celebrating the feasts. And that all of the they call themselves wide path dropouts, narrow path enthusiasts, going on the wide is the narrow is the gate type thing. She talks about in Matthew 5:17-19 the food they eat kosher. They don't think that those rules were ever abolished, and how they go right past Mark 7:15 or 7:17, I don't really understand.
Or the book of Acts, where the sheet was let down from heaven again. It sounds like this group is you know, saying, thank you, Jesus, for your death on the cross. However, we're going to earn it ourselves by doing all this stuff. And again, they need to read the book of Galatians. Very clearly explains what happens when you try to mix the two. If a person, wants to abide by some Jewish laws, I don't have anything against them. I don't necessarily believe they're not a Christian. However, to say that anybody else that doesn't see it their way is wrong, that's where the error comes in. Because it's very clear we go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross, not because I keep a new moon or a Sabbath or some other high holy day. And this is where they're horribly mistaken, because again, there's not anything that you, me, anyone listening do to gain righteousness. It's not within us to produce righteousness. Look what I did. Nothing right. screams arrogance more than that. No, the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, not through Jesus Christ our Lord and my contribution. Big difference. You see, this is where the problems come in. And so whether you're looking at the Seventh-day Adventist Jehovah's Witnesses that have some kind of a weird idea of mixing Christianity in with, of course, not really the Jehovah's Witnesses, because they deny that Jesus Christ is God. But this mixing of the law and Christianity together, it produces nothing. Our salvation is not of works of righteousness, lest any man would boast. It's from Christ himself who gave us and adopted us. And see, they're trying to earn what God has already given them. Your thoughts?
Yeah, if anyone wants to add to culture, that's fine. They just don't add to the cross. That's how I see it. So, you know, a friend of ours, they invited us to one of these feasts, biblical feasts, and he blew the ram's horn and different things, and you know, and that's fine. Pointing out how this applies to scripture, and this is foreshadowing of what's going to come in Revelations, and I found it was interesting, but at no time did he say, and you must do the feasts if you're going to be blessed by God, or if God's going to work in your life, or if you're going to be saved. That was never uttered. If it was, I would have contested it, because that is not what the true gospel is. It's all was done at the cross, complete. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant it. And we need to make sure that we just don't add things into it. Galatians, that was a problem. They, that church over there, were starting to add things into it and going back to their Judaism as if it was a contingent, requirement for salvation. And, and Paul says, if you forgot your first love, what's going on here? I think that's a question that we need to be asking ourselves when we start adding things to the cross. We cannot do that. Culture, that's fine. Anything that reminds us of Christ, reminds us of what he's done, no problem. But when those things are added on to the cross as a contingent for salvation, or a close relationship with God in that regard, then there's a problem. And I think that's how I would break it up.
Yeah, because either you're saved or you're not saved. And if we're saved by keeping new moons and Sabbaths and high holy days, then we're really saying that Jesus didn't do it all for us on the cross. And so this is where I think a lot of the problems come from, Janice. And I think got to just be really careful, because there's that air of arrogance that says, look what I did. I'm better than you.
Right.
Nope, that's not the way we go to heaven.
Yeah.
Again, Jesus Christ, here it is, the author, finisher of our faith. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, and another problem when we add things, religiosities, you're absolutely right, Pastor Mike. It often allows a pride to come in us.
Oh, yeah, look what I did.
A self-righteous pride, like almost like a pharmaceutical pride. And, pride is a barrier for God to work through us. Sometimes I see believers, and they're in high positions. Maybe they're a professor at a Christian university, and there's just this aura of pride sometimes that can creep in by the world standards, and it creeps in, and that person may be a fool in terms of their ability to see what's very clearly in Scripture, or what is really clearly right and wrong with the issues of the day, from a biblical perspective. Pride is a very dangerous thing that to allow into our lives, because it inhibits God's full revealing himself through us, I believe, it because it denies God his glory, and that's what he's made us for, is for his glory and for his pleasure. So going to these festivals and things are fine. We just have to make sure that they in no way are tacked on to our feeling of religiosity or spirituality. That's opening the door for Satan to come in and allow pride to consume us and to inhibit the work of God in our life.
Hope that helps.
That's kind of how I feel. If they're doing it to honor God, that's one thing. If they're doing it to impress him, they're on the wrong path.
Right.
Yeah. It's just really amazing that we cannot generate spirituality. We can't.
Right.
The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And the only thing good about any of us is what Christ did for us. The law was never meant to justify a man. It was meant to show us how desperately we needed a Savior. And so, again, when they say, well, God didn't change the dietary laws, well, when the sheet was let down from heaven for Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat, exactly, he did change that. And I don't understand where they come up with this stuff, but I think it all goes really back to a self-realization pride trip that somehow they think they're going to generate their spirituality. Just rest in that, Janice, and the freedom in Christ. You know, Paul even addresses the Galatians in chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You've begun in the spirit. Are you going to be made perfect in the flesh? All those things have to do with the flesh. So, Janice Hale Online is sending out some books and DVDs, a little book called Time to Grow. Perhaps you can move that along to your friend.
Thank you.
God bless you, dear. And if you need anything, we're here for you. Let's go to Bud, Grant Pass, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hello, this is Bud.
Hi, how may we help?
Well, I don't know where the scripture is, but it says something about don't call anyone or person father. But, you know, it says honor your father and mother. And then it says our Father in heaven. So there must be different Hebrew.
Context. It's context. Now, again, where you find that, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 9, it says, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And do not call teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. Now, if we go to the verse before, that going back one verse, verse 8, before, don't call anyone father, but you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, who are, and you are all brethren. So very clearly, this idea of father is referencing a spiritual leader. And this is where he warns about this. Now, of course, we have a mother and father. We're supposed to respect them. So we know it's not talking about that. And when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, pray in this manner, our Father. So we know that we can call God Father, and we also can call our parents Father. But as far as the spiritual hierarchy, this is where the context there in Matthew chapter 23 comes in. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I agree. It's just it's context, and I think that's an accurate explanation of what we're talking about. Physically, family-wise, yes, we have a mother and a father. Spiritually, we have only one father, and that's the Lord. And so, it's when we start seeing the spiritual dimension coming in with saying Father, or recognizing some other lordship over us, contrary or even disagreement with the lordship of our Heavenly Father, then that's a problem. And I think that's what the context was.
So, Bud, does that help?
It'll be a problem with the Catholic Church calling their pastors father.
Absolutely. You know, I'm always amazed how these different religions simply just won't read the Bible. Because if they did, they'd realize what they're doing, the Bible prohibits. Amazing to me. Things that make you go, hmm. Hey, stay in line, bud. Send you out some books, some DVDs, and I think you'll enjoy them. Share them with your friends. And thanks, Brad, for being on.
Thank you.
Brad Dacus, Pacific Justice Institute, PJI.org. Check them out. Have a safe weekend.
To receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.